What all do I want to tell you? I have a fond memory. The last time I was here, I don't know what it is, but I had on a pair of shoes that killed my feet, and I took them off. I don't usually do that. It's good that you're sitting far away. I'm not going to do it tonight. And I taught in my stocking feet, and I thought, this is the place that I feel so comfortable. You know, we're all in this together. Yeah. We got to go to heaven together. And tonight we're going to steal away from that busy life that Satan is trying to operate. And we're just going to sit at the Lord's feet. Because every time we open up the Bible, do you know what happens? A treasure pops out. Because I'm going to tell you something. God's trying to tell us something. My question is, are we listening? We tune out God just like we tuned out Mama. You remember that? And how our kids tuned out us? But you know what? God still says it. You know, God told... inspired Paul to tell Timothy, preach the word in season and out of season. Brother Keeble said, you got to preach the word when the people want to hear it and when they don't want to hear it. So that's what tonight is all about. I love it when you laugh with me and when you cry with me. And as it happens, you know that both things, emotions will happen too. So anyway, what I always do as I start, you know, I have to tell you a joke. And I tell you the same jokes, and you're so sweet, you laugh at them. So I tell you my first favorite joke. The joke is about the 80-year-old guy who goes out and he marries the 18-year-old chick. Oh, she's a pretty thing. And he takes her to the doctor, and he says, see, doc, I did what you told me to do. And the doctor said, I told you to do that? And he said, you most certainly did. You said, go get a hot mama and be cheerful. And the doctor said, I did not. I said, you have a heart murmur. Be careful. Oh, I love it that you laugh at that one. I got to tell you this one. I'm going to try this one. Now, y'all laugh at it, okay? Just say yes. Did you hear the one about the guy and he had two burnt ears? And he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, what did you do? And he said, well, I was ironing, and I put the iron down, and the phone rang, and I forgot, and I picked up the iron. And the doctor said, well, what happened to the other ear? And he said, it rang again. I don't know. I just think that's corny. But I like corn. Now, here's one. Here's a test. See if you like this one. You poor Sebring ladies and Pompano Beach ladies will have to hear this one again, but make me feel good. Maybe you've forgotten it. We have a sweet lady in our congregation named Lena, who's in her 90s, and she sends out notes to people. Well, she sends out a spiritual thought. But what she doesn't know is that her son-in-law has put a joke on the back. So I always read the spiritual thought, and then I see what Keith's joke. And so it always comes on about a Monday, and I read it. And then, so it came several months ago, years ago, really. And I read the spiritual thought, and then I read the joke. Well, I didn't get it. Do you get every joke is ever told? Does anybody ever tell a joke, and you go, don't have a clue? It was one of those. I just didn't get it, so I put it down. And so about Thursday, I came back into the kitchen, and I picked up Lena's note, and then I got it. So here it is. Did you hear the one about the lady who's having a heart attack? And they rush her to the hospital, and she's in surgery, and she sees a huge light. And the voice of God says, go back, go back. You've got 10 more years. We're not ready. Go back. She wakes up. And she's in the hospital, and she's feeling pretty good. She said, God told me I had 10 more years. Well, you know what? Since I'm in the hospital, I'm going to have all that work done I've always wanted done. So she got the facelift. She had the tucks, you know. She had liposuction. She even had her hairstylist come in, and she got a new do. She got new makeup. Man, she was good looking. And they released her from the hospital. She stepped off the curb, and when she did, an ambulance struck her and killed her right in front of the hospital. Well, she woke up in heaven, but she was hot. She was mad. She was looking for God. So she searched and searched until she found him, and she finally found him, and she said, I thought you said I had 10 more years. And he said, I'm just so sorry, I didn't recognize you. like it? Let me tell you something. If you don't get it, you'll get it on Thursday. Don't we love to laugh? One more? One more. Oh, I like this group down here. Now, this is a true story, which makes it all the more funny, don't you think? Do you remember that wonderful book or magazine called Reader's Digest? Do you know it's lost weight? It's only this big when it used to be kind of, you know, chunky. So I love Life in These United States, true stories. I love these. Well, the true story is that this lady was in labor, and she made it to the hospital. She got into the elevator, and she had that baby on the floor of the elevator. And the only person that could help her in the elevator was a male nurse. So he delivered the baby, and she just kept saying, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." And he said, "Why, ma'am, don't worry about it. Why, do you know that last year some lady had her baby out on the front lawn of this hospital?" And she said, "Oh, that was me too." I love that. Hey, aren't you glad that God gave us a sense of humor? Yes. And some things may not be funny to you right now, but what? Give it some time and it will be funny. Okay, you know what old Beck's going to do? She's going to ask you, "Did you bring a pen?" Yes. Let me see it. "Do you have paper?" Yes. I know my little chickens up here passed it out. Now here's the real question. Did you bring your sword of the Spirit? Show me your Bible. If there you don't have one, but there's one in the pew, we're going to use it. Maybe you can go fast. Or the lady sitting next to you, your sister has one and you don't. Honey, you just go sit on her lap. Here we go. I want us to stop and have a prayer, all right? Let's have the Lord bless us tonight. Let's go. Father, you're just so good to us. Oh, Father, what an evening you've given us. Bless us all. We sit at your feet. Help me not to say anything you don't want me to, but Father, fill us up with the words that you've given us all. Help our hearts to be right. We love you so. We thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's sing. I know the Lord will find a way for me. I know the Lord will find a way for me. If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will find a way for me. Do you believe that? Do you know that's a comfort song? Whenever my world is upside down, I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe I'm in the doctor's office and I'm thinking, "Is my life over? Lord, what do you want me to do next?" I sing that song because I know the Lord has a plan for all of us. Write down Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, where God speaks to the prophet Jeremiah, telling his people who have been so wayward. He says, I have plans for you, plans for hope, plans for welfare, and that word for welfare is shalom. And what is that word? Peace. How many of you want peace? How many of you thrive on conflict? No. No. We don't thrive on conflict. We want peace in our lives. And the scripture goes on to say, "You will come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will search for me, and you'll find me when you search for me with all your," what else? Heart. Good. Good. Good Bible students here. We're talking about time. We're talking about help me find the time. And we have, everything was so wonderful. All the decorations. Thank you. Thank you for all the hard work you've done. Have you found that time is fleeting? Where did time begin? So here we go. Remember, I want you to write down the passages. If you don't get a scripture, raise up your hand. It is not important what Becky Blackman says. It's important what the Lord says. Write down Genesis 1, 1 to 5. Genesis 1, 1 to 5. God talking says, "In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the" what, girls? "The earth." Verse light. And God saw the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. Write it down. Time began that moment. God has created time. And you know what we do as women in the year 2019? We rush God. Because we want, the American way is to have something yesterday. But let me tell you something, you can't rush God. When God is working, it will be in his time, not your time. And what does that take on our part? Faith, patience. We walk by faith and not by what? Sight. Absolutely. I love this group. You know this. Time began in Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. You know this wonderful passage that Solomon was inspired to write, where he says, there is a time for every event under heaven, a time to give birth, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build up. And it goes all the way through 8 verses, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, a time for peace. And when you look at all of these different kinds of time, you realize what Solomon is describing is the times of our life. That's what it is, because you will experience all these things. My mother told me once when she was an old lady, she said, honey, if you live life long enough, you'll see just about everything. And you'll see just about everything happen in the church. And that's true. You see things you didn't think you'd ever see, but it happens. Why? Write it down. Because Satan wants your time, and Satan wants you. And he wants your kids, and he wants your grandkids. And are you going to let him have them? No, you're going to fight tooth and nail. Bible tells us that if we tell him to flee, what will he do? He will flee. In Galatians 4, I want you to write down Galatians 4:4 in this wonderful, wonderful book, the Bible. In Galatians 4:4, the Bible says, when the fullness of the time came, I'm reading from the New American Standard, when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might, why God, why did you choose this time? So that he might redeem, what's that mean? He's going to buy us back. Who? Those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Well, let's put daughters in there. At the fullness of time. What was the fullness of time? When things were right. When God decided the time. You had the Greek language. Magnificent. Perfect language in so many ways. You had Roman roads. Gospel could go. Well, we had a wonderful preacher, and he described it like this. So this is what I'm trying to do with my sisters now when I speak to them. I don't want you to slap anybody in the face, but hold your hands just like this. And I want you to put your left hand out. And this is going to be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. But it's going to start right here, all right? You're going to get all the way through the Kings. You're going to get Chronicles. You're going to get to the major prophets, the minor prophets. You're going to get to the Babylonian captivity. There's going to be 400 years of silence, correct? And then what happens? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Go all the way. Jesus is born. The church is established. You have the epistles. You have Revelation. Now, hey, you have your hands out like this. Now, hold on to this, and I want you to remember this. This is the story of God. How am I going to find out who God is? How am I going to find out what he wants me to do with the time he's given me? I have to read the story. This is the story of Jesus. Do you think Jesus is just in the New Testament? No, he's all the way through. Elohim, from Genesis to Revelation. And this is also the story of Holy Spirit. How am I going to find about all three? The whole entire book. Now hold on to this. When you and I became Christians, you got it? You listening? When you and I became Christians, we stepped into the story. God invited us in. This is our story. This is my story, and it's your story. To not look at the Bible with good eyes, seeking eyes, wanting to please God eyes, we're missing the mark. To not read this marvelous account that changes me and tells me how to step in the story and forget what lies behind. And now I'm in God's world. Oh, thank you. I'm the most thankful woman on the face of this earth because I finally learned the one word that is so difficult for people, men and women. And that word, get ready to write it down, is called surrender. And when you learn to surrender, you're the most blessed woman there ever was. Because God is going to open up the heavens of blessing, and He's going to pour it so much down on you, you can't even receive it. Amen. Amen. I just love the thought that God has invited you and me into the story. Did He have to do it? Did He have to send Jesus? Did He have to give us His word that tells us how to get home to Him? Did He say, just, you're on your own? No. He loved us so much. In the fullness of time, He sent Jesus to die for us. Please write down this also. Romans 5:6, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And that's you and me. Because we didn't have Jesus' blood to wash away the sins. How important it is we remember that not all people will want to use their time for the Lord. Write down Acts 24. In Acts 24, I love the book of Acts. Oh, what a story of history. And Paul, who is talking before Felix, and in the next chapter, Agrippa and Bernice, and all of these people are related. And he is talking about self-control and righteousness and the judgment to come. And Felix says, enough. At a more convenient time, I'll summon you. What did Felix say? Not now. I can't handle that right now. I'm going to tell you something, girls. We got to stop and handle it. At the end of the day, it's just you and God. And it's just me and God. I would go to my mother with a heartbroken heart. And I'd say, oh, Mama, what am I going to do with those kids? Or what am I going to do about the marriage? Or all the problems that were in my life? And she would say to me these words, honey, you can't handle this, but God can. All you can do is save yourself. Okay. That put things into perspective. And then she'd say, let's give this to God. Let's write it down, pray about it. And that's your key. The key of prayer that opens up everything. Where has the time gone? One time my mother walked into my kitchen and she said, I know I've done this for you before. She says, Becky, do you know what the Greek word is for vapor? And I thought, Greek word for vapor. Oh, Mother and I are going to have a great discussion. I said, no, Mama, tell me, what's the Greek word for vapor? And she says, the Greek word for vapor is... whoosh. Isn't it true? James 4:14. Every time I say a scripture, write it down. James 4:14 says, you do not know what your life is. It's but a whoosh. Isn't it true? Listen, girls, just yesterday, I was 24 years old. Anybody identify? And I look in the mirror and I see my mama. And I think, Mama. Well, it's really funny. I'm sometimes scary because my mother always had to have a perm. She never could fix her hair. So she had this pick and she would pick out her hair and it would get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I would go over to see her and I noticed that the back of her hair was never done. And I'd say, Mama, just stand still. Let me pick the back of your hair. And she'd say, oh, honey, nobody ever sees that. But isn't it true? Weren't you just rocking your babies, and now you have grandbabies and great-grandbabies? Aren't you blessed? Do you remember the song? Do you remember singing it? As the life of a flower, as a breath or a sigh, so the years fade away, and alas, we must die. Steve Jobs, who was the CEO of Apple, who passed away with cancer, once said, "Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life." Isn't that true? We admire people or we think they've got it down, so we want to be like them. Listen, you want to be like anybody, be like Jesus. That's who you got to be like. Write down this one. Psalm 103, 14 to 16 says, "For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. And when the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer." People can't even find where that flower once was. In 50 years, those of us who are older, nobody will know we were here. They won't remember us. In 100 years, they may not remember you. Write down this one, Psalm 90. Now, my mother showed me this one, so I give it to you with what she told me. It is a psalm of Moses. Psalm 90. As the days of our life, they contain 70 years. That's a lifespan, isn't it? Or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone and we fly away. 80 years if you're really, really blessed. But still, there's labor and sorrow. And that's what she wanted to point out to me. Becky, you may live a long time, but what is the labor and sorrow? She says, "I hurt everywhere." And isn't that true? And it takes work. She says, "Everything I do takes work." I don't know if you're like me, but let me tell you the pit that I'm in. It seems like all day long, I search for something I've lost. I'm always looking. Where did I just laid it down. It is gone. It takes work. And sorrow, what's the sorrow? How about our friends that have passed on? Husbands, children even sometimes, tragically. Things that were sorrowful. And I tell you something, I have labor and sorrow just trying to call somebody on my cell phone. Do you know why I have a landline? It's because I take the phone off the landline and call my cell phone because I don't know where I put it. Anybody have that problem? It is true, labor and sorrow. Someone has wisely said, we spend the first half of our life spending our health to get wealth. And the second half of our life, we spend our wealth to get our health back. Isn't that true? I saw this the other day, and I want you to write this one down. This one needs to be in your Bible. The time you are in, I'll say it slowly. The time you are in is God's gift to you. Now you think about it. The time you are in is God's gift to you. Sometimes, oh, I wish I'd been born in that age. Oh, I wish I'd been born over there in that age when they wore those dresses. Oh, I wish, let me tell you something. Write this down. Don't wish your life away. You were born now. God has put you on earth now. Why? And I love the song. We are vessels to carry the gospel. We cannot keep the gospel to ourselves in our church buildings. We've got to walk out and meet people because God is putting people in our lives. But remember this, write it down. I don't care how old you are, you're here tonight. Your life isn't over. Be excited about the life God has given you. Do not be weary in what? Well doing. I'm encouraging you. I'm your Barnabas. And I want all of you to be a Barnabas too, to encourage me, because we got to get home. But there's work we got to do. I was worshiping in, I think it was Lithia Springs, Georgia, outside of Atlanta. And the brother got up to lead the opening prayer, and he said, "Dear Lord, thank you for waking us up this morning." I love that. Well, the Lord's given me another day. I may not have tomorrow, but I do have this day. Write this down. God has a purpose for you to be alive and doing well and working. He does. There's something you can do. There's a church to be encouraged. There's children to be loved. There's food to be made. There's cards to be sent. There is something we all can do. Amen? Amen. Amen. How about mentoring? Titus 2 tells the older men what to do, the younger men what to do, and it tells the older women to help train the younger women. I'm going to tell you something. We fight that one, and we shouldn't. Tap into the young women in your congregation, and you young women, hear me on this, find an older woman and tap her resources. You will have a friendship that will carry you into eternity. When my heart was broken because my mama had slipped away, what didn't know who I was, a sweet lady in her 80s came up to me and said, her name was Tressie, and she said, "Becky, I know your heart's broken about your mama." I said, "Yes, Tressie." She knew what I was going through, and she said, "I'll be your mama." And then she passed away. So what do? I go to women who are losing their mamas, and I say to them, "I'll be your mama." It goes on. The work goes on. Satan wants to cancel it. Write this down. Satan wants you negative and depressed and miserable. Satan wants you negative, depressed, and miserable. God wants you positive and joyful and happy and working to the work. That's what we've got to do. I want us to consider something. As Brother Keeble would say, let's look at this and let's handle it and see what we can get out of it. Brother Keeble came to my house, our house in Concord, New Hampshire. He was in his 80s. I'd heard about Brother Keeble all my life. He came to our house. My mama said that was the most honored guest she'd ever have in his, had, in, and she had lots of company. He held a week's meeting. I remember being in that church building in Concord, New Hampshire, and hearing him preach. And for the first time in my life, I forgot about the clock on the back of the wall as a teenager. I just wanted him to talk. Keep on. Keep on. And God put Brother Keeble right where he needed him. And God has put us right where he needs us. And so what a sad travesty it would have been if Brother Keeble hadn't done the work. What's the word God has for us? Everybody, I want you to go to Matthew 25. And I want to explain something, and I hope and pray I explain it right. So everybody, Matthew 25. Before we get there, I want to say something. We got to put a peg in something. You know, I say that a lot. Put a peg there, put a peg there. It's funny, the ladies who came with the Pompano Beach ladies, they came with their preacher, Jeff Wilder, and he's the man who invented the peg. He's the one that I got the peg from. He would say that to my kids. He taught my kids. Now, before we jump into this, there's something I got to say. I don't know how many times I've heard a woman say, "Oh, I'd love to go to that ladies' Bible class. Yeah, well, I'm going to do that one of these days when I retire." Or, "Oh, I want to go to Fried Hardeman lectures. I'm going to do that one of these days." Or, that gospel meeting they have over at that congregation down the road. Oh, I hear it's wonderful. I'd like to do that one of these days. Did you hear me? Put a peg there. Go to Matthew 25, verse 1. "Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were what? Wise or prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the prudent, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the prudent answered, saying, 'No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was what? And later the other virgins also came, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open up for us.' But he answered and said, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour.'" This is called a judgment day parable. Jesus is at the end of his life. He's talking about the judgment day when the bridegroom will come again. Now, how many of you have ever seen the movie Fiddler on the Roof? And you know when their daughter is going to marry a model and the tailor? And, you know, the whole city comes out and they walk together to where they're going to have the wedding. And they're singing sunrise, sunset, a beautiful scene. And this is reminiscent of the Jewish custom of the people waiting for the bridegroom to come to gather up the bride herself with her, what? Her bridesmaids. It's interesting to note that in the old Jewish tradition, the wedding didn't start until the father of the bridegroom told the bridegroom, "Now, go and get your bride." Why is that reminiscent to us? What does it mean, girls? It's heaven, the kingdom of heaven. We're talking about second coming, when Jesus comes again. Has it happened? No. But one of these days, God, the Father, is going to say to God, the Son, "Now is the time," and he will go and get the church, right? You follow me so far? This parable, when Jesus taught a parable, he had something powerful. And there isn't a parable that you can pick up that you can't read and go, "Oh, what's he saying?" And you might get two and three meanings. There's a hidden, I don't say hidden meaning, I want you to see a scripture in this. Maybe it'll knock your socks off. It does mine. Do you see verse 5? Everybody look. "Now while the bridegroom was delaying," has the bridegroom come back, girls? No. "They all," who's the they? All the virgins. "They got drowsy and began to do what? Sleep." This is the sleep of death. But there's something here. Now, first of all, I want to ask you something. Are all the girls, especially the ones that are foolish, are they mean and evil? No. They just didn't think. They hadn't prepared, right? But what do you do with the phrase, "They all got drowsy and began to sleep"? I believe it's Albert Barnes who makes this comment. He says there are sicknesses that occur in our lives before we finally, what, pass on. For instance, my daddy had a stroke, and so he was crippled before he passed away from a heart attack 5 years later. There are people who have cancer, and they are bedridden, right? And all of a sudden, they can't get out and go anywhere because they've got to go and get treatments. I've heard of a man once who had a stroke and he couldn't speak again. You can be crippled and not ever leave your bed again. And how about dementia? My mother knew the Bible backwards and forwards, but when Alzheimer's set in, she didn't know anything. But she knew God. You know what I'm trying to tell you? Do you remember that peg we had? When we thought we were going to do, we're going to go to that ladies' Bible class. We're going to go to that lectureship. We're going to go study. We do not know what is around the corner. Write this down. We do not have the time we think we have. I'm going to do that one of these days. You know what? Maybe I didn't count on being diagnosed with cancer. Maybe I didn't count on being diagnosed with dementia. And now I don't know anything. I can't go to that lectureship. You know what old Beck's trying to tell you, don't you? Go do it now, before your mind is gone. While you have strength. You ask those people who are sick, "Do you miss going to church?" "Oh, yes. I wish I could be with the family." You do not know what's going to happen to you tomorrow. Use your time wisely. What will we choose? Write this down. We're going to choose God. That's what we're going to do. We're going to choose God tonight. We're going to start being a daily Bible reader. Let it begin today so that we can be in the story that begins from Genesis and ends in Revelation. And we can step into that story and we can get our kids in that story. And everybody we meet can get in that story. My mother used to look at me, and she would say, Becky, to walk into heaven alone would be a tragedy, wouldn't it? Absolutely. You probably find this hard to believe. I could be a difficult teenager. These youngins don't need to hear this. I could. And I would argue with my mother. Anybody ever argue with your mother? Yes. We can say yes. Yes, yes. Okay, we'll be honest. Okay. Did you ever win? No, not very much. I would argue with my mother and argue with my mother and argue with my mother. And, you know, she would be, why aren't you like Tom and Judy? Why didn't you like this? Why didn't you do like that? And I'd say, because my theme song is Sammy Davis Jr. I gotta be me. I gotta be me. And then we'd argue some more. And then finally she would say, enough. I'm not arguing with you anymore. You're not? No, I'm not. And then she switched her tactic. So for those of you that have arguments with your kids or grandkids, may I suggest this? Because it works. She used God on me. She used it on all of us. When she got mad at my daddy, she'd say, Russ, I'm going to tell God on you. Scared him to death. We all thought she had a hotline. But she meant this. She didn't mean it to be funny. But she would look at me and she'd say, Becky. And this is when she went down to the bottom of my soul, which mothers can do. She said, someday, I want you to know, God will never bless you in what you're doing. And I'm going to die. My heart would sink. And she'd say, but I want you to know, I'm going, when I get up to heaven, because I'm going to heaven. When I get up to heaven, I'm going to go find heaven's gate and I'm going to stand right there until I see your face. You think I'm going to be bad after that? No, I'm not going to be bad. I'm going to do whatever it is. So listen, girls, it's a viable argument, don't you think? When nothing else works, bring in God. Do you want to please God, child? And you know, we all want to please the Lord. Really? So that always worked with me. We think we have all the time in the world, but we don't. The true story is told of this Texas farmer. And he was not a Christian, but his wife was. And they went to this little tiny Church of Christ out in the farm country of Texas. And every preacher that came in made it his goal to convert that farmer. Preachers came, preachers went. Preachers came, preachers went. The old farmer would not be baptized. One day, the farmer had a horrible accident in his field with a tractor. Two men coming by in a car saw it happen. They jumped out, grabbed him, put him in the back seat, and were rushing to the hospital, and they had to drive right past the little church, and he knew that the preacher would be there. He knew the baptistry would be there. And he begged the two men. He said, please, please stop. And they said, we've got to get you to the hospital. You're bleeding. You're dying. Well, he did die in the hospital, not soon after, but not before he said these words. But I always meant to become a Christian. I always wanted to become a Christian. What happened? Time's up. He ran out of time. He thought he had all the time in the world, but he didn't. And that's what we have to look at. Write down Colossians 3, 1 to 3. I love this passage. Colossians 3, 1 to 3 says, set your mind on the things where? Above. Not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ. Set your mind, girls, on where? Things above. I'm telling you, that old Beck that I have to kill, she tries to raise up every day and I have to stomp her, get back down under the earth. I killed you. My eyes are set on God. And here's one of my new phrases. I hope you write this down. When you set your mind on God, God will set his mind on you. And he will. Test him. Put him to the test. When you set your mind on God, he'll set his mind on you. Write down Revelation 3:20. Now we're going to fly, really fly. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and what? Knock. If, hear it? If anyone hears my voice, and opens the door. Does he push his way in? No. And they open up the door, I will come to him, into him, and I will dine with him and he with me. Now write down this one, John 14:23. In John 14:23, Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him. Really? And make our abode with him. What does the word abode mean? We're going to make our home with him. Let me in. We will come in. We will dine together. But I want you to write this down. People will reject the Lord. Why? They want a drive-through Savior and an instant religion. Drive-through. Let's just grab a bite to eat, Lord, and that's all the time I want to give you. But this takes time to dine with the Lord, to have him and the Father come in and make their abode with us. It takes time. Write down Psalm 37:39. Psalm 37:39. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of, who you know the next word? Trouble. How many of you know about the begging place? How many of you know that you have to beg God when you're in a crisis? He's your strength in time of trouble? Absolutely. Girls, write this down. We will be tested. It is a given. But what do we have to do? We have to know the scriptures. We have to know who the Father is, so that brings us comfort so we can pray. This is called building our faith. This is called building the relationship that He wants with us. Can you imagine God wanting time with us? I tell my sisters, I don't know how in the world God has time for you and your life and your problems when He's got His hands full just making Becky behave. But He's God, and He is good. And I'm so thankful to be His child. I wouldn't want to be anything else. Girls, why doesn't everybody want to be just a Christian? Just a child? Write down 1 John, I think it's 3:1. Like Brother Keeble says, read all of 1 John and you'll run into it. 1 John 3:1 says, see how great a love the Father has for us, that we should be called the children of God. My mother said, Becky, ever notice it says the children of God? It doesn't say the teenagers. It doesn't say the adults. It says the children. How are we with children? Kind, tolerant. They'll get their act together. And how is God with us? The same way. Get in the Word. The Bible is our strength. Brother Keeble said, and I always have to pick up my Bible when I talk about this. He makes this comment. You've got a book, and you can conquer the world with this book, but you can't conquer it with it under your arm. You got to have it where? In your heart. That means I got to get into it. I've got to do some memory work. I've got to study. I've got to dig. And it's the most thrilling thing ever. I've got to be a pearl seeker. It will change your life. Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then what, girls? The judgment. The time is coming. We sang an old song. What will it be, or what will it be? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, O Lord, what will you do with me? God is the God of second chances. Are you not grateful? Yeah. Because you know what? I know who Obek is, and he does too. I don't fool God. I may fool other people, but I don't fool God. And yet he forgives me over and over. Write this down. Heaven awaits us all. I have one little grandson who has bright orange hair. His name is Lex. And he kind of talks like this. He has a real raspy voice. And so when we were at his house on Sunday morning and he was getting dressed, I was not in the room, and he came into our bedroom where Granddaddy was getting dressed, putting his tie on, and he said, Granddaddy, I've forgotten something. And my husband Jeff said, what? And he said, I forgot where we're going today. Are we going to go to heaven or are we going to church? Which one? Oh, the thoughts of a child. You know what? He didn't care. Either one was good for him. What about us? Are we ready to go? Can we say, Lord, come quickly? Can we say these things? Somebody once said, I counted dollars while God counted crosses. I counted gains while he counted losses. I counted my wealth by the things gained in store, but he valued me by the scars I bore. I counted the honors and sought for ease, and he wept while he counted the hours on my knees. And I never knew until one day by a grave how vain are these things that we spend a lifetime to save. Thomas Aquinas once said, the things we love tell us who we are. Don't they? What's number one? Puts it into perspective. You're going to meet an old woman someday. She may be a seasoned, soft, gracious lady, a gentlewoman who has grown old gracefully, surrounded by a host of friends. Or she may be a bitter, disillusioned, dried up, cynical woman without a good word for anybody, soured, friendless, and alone. The kind of old woman you meet depends entirely on yourself, because that old woman will be you. She will be the composite of everything you do, say, and think today and tomorrow. Her mind will be set in a mold you have made by your attitudes. Her heart will be turning out what you have been putting in. Every day, in every way, you are becoming more and more like yourself. What am I doing with my life? The sands of time are going. What am I doing? What kind of woman have I become? This is our moment in time. When my mother had dementia and didn't know who I was, she knew I looked familiar, but she couldn't place me. She didn't know any names. The mind that I told you that knew scriptures couldn't recall anything. A lady that was a nurse in the Alzheimer's unit once told me this: Alzheimer patients may forget who they are and who may forget who you are, but they never forget God. I find that interesting. She would look at me, my mama, like I was familiar, and then she would say, remember, there is a day fixed. Do you know what she was doing? She was quoting to me, write down Acts 17:31. Where Paul on Mars Hill told all those heathen worshipers that there is a day fixed. It's the second coming. And God is going to judge the world through a man whom he... Jesus. And all my mama could remember, there is a day fixed. Do you know what I'm telling you, my sweet sisters? She went out the way she wanted to go out, still knowing scripture and teaching whoever came in that room. And that's how I want to go out too. How about you? I want to know the word. I want to say the word. Doesn't matter if I don't know who I am. I just want to make sure that I know God. So girls, write it down. This is our moment. We will never pass this way again. There is no dress rehearsal for life. We are on stage and the play has begun. And if you're like me, I'm in the last act. I'm going to grow drowsy and fly away. And so are you. I say this wherever I go, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. If our paths never cross again, I will see you in heaven at the gate. And that's a promise. I love you. Thank you, girls. Thank you.